Good morning, it's 9:30 here at Sun Sounds of Arizona in Tucson. Thank you for joining me, Mark DeGroft, with a live reading of the Green Valley News for Wednesday, the 26th day of March already. Some sun this morning with increasing clouds this afternoon. High of 88, winds out of the south-southwest to 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low of 54 degrees, winds out of the south-southwest 5 to 10. Tomorrow, sunny skies, looking for a high of 89 degrees, with winds out of the west-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Humidity is 12%, cloud coverage 59% at 9:30. Sunrise today was 6:19 tonight. Sunset 6:40, and it is currently 73 degrees in Green Valley. Okay, let's take a look at what's happening in the Green Valley area for today. A hiker in Ash Canyon in the Huachuca Mountains suffered a rare Cotamundi attack on Sunday, requiring medical treatment. According to a post from the Cochise County Sheriff's Office, the hiker had returned to his vehicle when he spotted a Cotamundi on his car hood. He attempted to scare the animal away by shouting and waving his arms. But instead of fleeing, the Cotamundi tore off a windshield wiper and then left and attacked him. The hiker managed to get inside of the vehicle, but not before sustaining scratches and bites that required medical attention. He received a rabies vaccine at a local hospital as a precaution before returning home to Tucson. A USDA wildlife specialist searched for the animal but was unable to locate it. If found, the Cotamundi will be tested for rabies. Authorities are advising residents and visitors to remain cautious in rural and mountainous areas and to avoid engaging with wildlife. Reports of Cotamundi attacks on humans are rare but not unheard of. In Arizona, there have been occasional incidents, usually involving people feeding or startling the animals. In 2017, a woman in Tubac was bitten by a Cotamundi after attempting to shoo it away from a picnic area. And while Cotamundis can carry rabies, confirmed cases are infrequent compared to other animals like skunks and bats and foxes. Wildlife officials urge the public to avoid approaching or feeding Cotamundis and to report any aggressive or unusually bold behavior. And this incident is under investigation. Well, back in August, U.S. Representative Juan Ciscomani came to the Suarita Police Department to celebrate the awarding of $810,000 by the federal government to purchase 7 badly needed handheld radios. They won't be getting the money after all, at least not from the federal government. When Trump signed the continuing resolution on March 15th to avert a partial government shutdown, that funding went away. Mina Marcos, the town's management analyst, announced the loss of the FY fiscal year 25 allocation during the town council meeting on Monday night. The elimination of the earmark request has resulted in a 10% increase. As you know, as time goes by, the cost of products continues to rise. The town is again still in need of the radios, and the total project cost for this is now $891,000, Marcos said. Ciscomani said via email Tuesday that he is dismayed by the loss of funding for the radios and several other projects that he had championed. I'm very disappointed that the bipartisan continuing resolution Congress passed did not include any of the funds I secured through my work on the Appropriations Committee. I am dedicated to continue to work with each of my project recipients to find funding for these vital projects. We're waiting for further information on the process for fiscal year 26, but it is my intention to continue fighting for these projects, Ciscomani wrote. Ciscomani, who's a Republican who voted for the continuing resolution, said shutting down the government by not supporting the CR would have been extremely harmful to my constituents and not an option for me. Town manager Shane Dill said in an email on Tuesday that the unwelcome news hit his desk last week. As a result, the town will purchase the radios in more manageable bundles over several years. And while hopeful that federal support will be reintroduced in the near future, The town is certain its system to systematically replace these radios will get the job done, Dill said. In August, Mayor Tom Murphy thanked Siskamani for his assistance and said that thanks to the appropriation, the town would be able to spend the freed up money on other needs. And Murphy said Tuesday the celebration ended up being premature after the CR vote, but he remained hopeful that the town would have a second chance down the road when Congress makes more moves toward a budget. As for Siskamani's vote, Murphy says he understands that he had a choice between voting for the CR and nixing the SPD funding or voting against it, which could have led to a government shutdown. That's pain everywhere, right? Murphy said. You know, military folks may not get paid, so I see it more hopefully as a pause. And back in August, Suarita Police Lieutenant Michael Falquez said that handheld radios are typically replaced every 5 to 7 years, and the department's current radios are 10 years old, outdated, and past their service life, and they are breaking. The new radios will have updated technology that will come in handy when radio towers are too far apart, Falquez said. At Walden Grove High School, Falquez said the new radios will automatically switch over to whatever has the best signal, Wi-Fi or radio towers. And when someone called in a false report of a gun at Walden Grove High School last March, Falquez said officers had some difficulties communicating. The same issues exist at Walmart, he said. It'll also enhance our safety, officer safety as well, because now we can pull up the radio and see where the actual officer is versus just where their vehicle is. It has a GPS location on it, Falquez said. The radios may allow officers to check on warrants and driver's license status without tying up dispatchers, he said. The House passed the continuing resolution March 11th on a 217-213 vote. And the Senate went on to pass it 54-46 on March 14th. The president signed the resolution, which trimmed non-defense spending by about $13 billion from the previous year and increased defense spending by about $6 billion the following day. 9:39 here at Sunsounds. The skeletal remains of a Green Valley man who was reported missing 3 years ago were found on Interstate 19 on Saturday by a church group that was picking up trash. There is no reason to believe 71-year-old Johnny Huff, who suffered from dementia, died as a result of foul play, Suarita police said in a news release. According to the release, members of the church group were working on a stretch of Interstate 19 between El Toro and Suarita Roads when they found the remains. Uncertain if they were seeing a Halloween decoration, they sought the advice of a fellow church member who is a federal agent who determined them to be human, the news release stated. The group contacted SPD Sunday and officers responded to the scene around 3 o'clock p.m. It was obvious to officers that the remains had been in the location for quite some time. This determination was based on the coloration of the bones, according to the release. Officer found Huff's wallet and identification at the scene, and the Pima County Office of the Medical Examiner took custody of his remains. Huff was last seen on January 10th of 2022, around 10 o'clock p.m., near his Pueblo Estates home in the 200 block of West Palma Drive. Authorities said he was wearing a gray shirt and jeans and was believed to be walking in the area without shoes. According to SPD, they found a jacket, gray shoes, and a gray shirt with the remains. The Pima County Sheriff's Department had coordinated search efforts for Huff with a number of agencies, including their search and rescue unit, the Green Valley Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, and the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. In May of 2022, they canvassed and re-canvassed several Green Valley neighborhoods, conducted aerial and drone searches, monitored bank accounts, deployed canine units, and published missing person alerts, including a statewide BOLO, which is Be On the Lookout, and for a silver alert for Huff. According to PCSD, the U.S. Border Patrol canine unit was unable to find any type of foot sign or odor of Huff, and the door-to-door search for relevant footage seems to have revealed little information about what may have happened or where Huff might have gone. Authorities determined there was no activity on Huff's account, on the bank account, and said no proof he'd been picked up by anybody. Two detectives from PCSD headquarters were assigned to the case, and they conducted interviews with Huff's family and friends and searched several properties across the state for signs of Huff. Community-led searches, chronicled on the social media site Nextdoor, helped spread the word on Huff's disappearance, independently covering more than 100 square miles of desert and neighborhood areas in Green Valley, but ultimately they ended up turning up nothing. Carrie Bennington, a caretaker for Huff and his wife Joanne, said the family had secured a spot for Huff at a local assisted living facility the day before he disappeared, and he seemed fine with that decision. Anybody with information about the case may contact the SPD by calling 911 or 344-7000 during business hours, Monday through Friday, or by contacting the tip line at 520-445-7847. Again, 520-445-7847. In a split vote, the Suarita Town Council on Monday chose brown trash cans for the upcoming single provider residential solid waste service. Town staff narrowed the color selection to tan or brown before the 4-3 vote, noting a decision is needed to proceed with production and delivery to residents. Staff reported tan is not as common, but not terribly difficult to order. Staff said tan matches the town's branding, but is more likely to get marked up during the routine collection processes. Town staff said brown cans would show less wear over time and is a common color, making replacement orders easier. Staff notes to the council reported that some people don't like brown as the only con for ordering brown cans. Council members Diane Priolo, Deborah Morales, and Edgar Lytle voted for the tan cans. Town manager Shane Dill also updated the council on the program, saying staff reached out to the can vendor and can offer residents 65-gallon trash and recycling cans. The town initially planned to make the 65-gallon bid only available for trash. Residents will have the option between the 65 or 96-gallon cans based on their needs. Dill said the concern for smaller cans came from a presentation that the town staff made in Quail Creek. He told the council that town staff is open to any invitations for meetings with residents who want to schedule a presentation. They just put very convincing arguments together as to why 65-gallon cans might be appropriate for certain households in our community, Dill said. He also told the council that Republic Services has held true to its commitment not to charge a collection fee to residents who will have to switch to the town's mandated contract with Waste Connections of Arizona. He said town staff has yet to get a commitment from Waste Management to not charge a can collection fee. So I'm not in a position to tell you where those negotiations are going to land, he told the council, but conversations are ongoing and seem to be in the right direction. The town council approved in January an ordinance mandating single provider solid waste service and a 7-year contract for Waste Connections. The service begins with town limits within town limits for residential areas with 4-unit residences or less on September 1st. 9:45 at Sun Sounds. Attorneys representing the owner of the Cow Palace restaurant filed their initial closing argument last week to help a judge determine if the state of Arizona is responsible for the flood that decimated the 98-year-old landmark, in 2018. In September of 18, a freak storm rainstorm dumped 23,000 cubic feet per second of water along the Sapori Wash, causing it to break out of its banks and flood several businesses, including the restaurant. The torrent of water ripped the doors off the hinges of the restaurant, overturned the wooden tables and chairs, freezers, and cooktops. A handful of business businesses sued the state after the Green Valley News obtained maintenance records showing the culvert underneath Sapori Bridge hadn't been maintained for at least 10 years. While the other businesses' owners settled their lawsuits, Cal Palace owner Frank Bertolino's lawsuit went to trial last month, more than 6 years after the flood. And over 5 days, Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Christopher Witten listened to witnesses and agreed to allow the attorneys to provide their closing arguments in writing. He's not expected to make a ruling until after Bertolino's attorneys respond to the state's closing argument, which is due on April 22nd. Bertolino's attorneys, Michael Pauli and Lawrence Moon, contend that the Arizona Department of Transportation was well aware of the water flow under the bridge had been substantially reduced because of an accumulation of sediment and chose to do nothing for well over 30 years. In addition, the attorney said the state's bridge engineer, David Benton, admitted state inspectors don't consider a bridge's possible contribution to flooding during their inspections. Benton testified they only considered how flooding might affect the integrity of the bridge itself, and therefore the state was grossly negligent, they argued. Bertolini's attorneys also argued the judge should disregard the testimony of Brian Thomas Whalen, an expert in hydraulic engineering and water resources, who testified on behalf of the state. Based on his computer-generated models, Whalen testified that even if the wash had been free of sediment, the Cow Palace would have been flooded just based on the volume of water that fell that day and its location in a floodplain. However, Bertolino's attorney said Whalen manipulated his model to obtain the results that the state wanted. They further argued that Wallen's model must be discounted based on Arizona's Rule of Evidence 702 because he created it solely for this lawsuit and it has not been peer-reviewed. Additionally, the attorney said Whalen didn't perform an uncertainty analysis, and the rules specify computer models and simulations, must have a known or potential rate of error. In terms of damages, Moon and Pauli reminded the judge that our experts testified the cost to repair the Cow Palace would have been just over $959,000, and the cost to replace the equipment would be around $313,000. Another witness testified Bertolino lost $341,000 in rent, the sale of his liquor license, and additional costs he incurred from September of 2018 through August of 2021. With prejudgment interest, the attorney said damages amount to nearly $1.3 million. 9:49 at Sunsounds of Arizona in Tucson here, 73 degrees in Green Valley. The Pima County Attorney's Office is still awaiting the results of tests that were taken after a 21-year-old Amato man was arrested on suspicion of DUI in a crash that left a popular Green Valley store clerk a paraplegic. Ruperto Del Angel, 69 years old, was stuck at 5:36 a.m. on the I-19 East Frontage Road while riding his bike to work on September 20th. The Arizona Department of Public Safety arrested Juan Pedro Lopez on suspicion of driving under the influence and leaving the scene of an injury collision at a business later that day following a tip. PCAO spokeswoman Chandrea Thomas said on Wednesday that some test results are still pending and prosecutors will be meeting with DPS to discuss the case again soon. Just a head up for the calendar coming up here. The dates for January 4th through the May 31st of this year. 9:30 in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's Butterfly Magic, 21st season of beautiful displays of tropical butterfly and plant species. How do we top last year's 20th season blowout? By showcasing even more butterflies and blooming orchids, of course. With over 30 species of butterflies on display at any given time, and over 100 different species displayed over the course of the season, there will always be new and interesting butterflies to see every time you visit. Our new and improved butterfly species signs will make identifying your favorite butterflies easier than ever, and our wonderful volunteers and staff will always be nearby to answer all of your butterfly-related questions. It's going on through May 31st at the Tucson Botanical Gardens at 2150 North Alvernon Way in Tucson. and that's from 9:30 a.m. until 3 o'clock p.m. The Butterfly Magic at Tucson Botanical Gardens. Story that was published originally in the Green Valley News on March 21st. Dale Sprinkle is 85 and hasn't seen a primary care physician in more than a year. He's crossing his fingers his July appointment doesn't get canceled because he'd like to talk to somebody about his worsening spinal stenosis symptoms. According to Medicare.gov, there were 147 medical providers in the Green Valley and Sorita area as of early February. The breakdown was nurse practitioners at 71, physician assistants at 31, family practitioners 22, internal medicine 14, cardiology and internal medicine 6, gastroenterology and internal medicine 2, and oncologist 1. Gilda Nelson, who is 84, lost 7 PCPs over the last 20 years, including the latest late last year. After spending hours on the phone being told doctors weren't taking new patients, she found one in January. His staff said the soonest that she could be seen would be in August. Sharon Dino, 72 years old, trusted her doctor so much she followed him from practice to practice. He recently left his last medical group and now she's on the hunt for a new doctor and praying that her former doctor opens his own practice despite being in his late 50s. These three Green Valley residents are not alone. The number of primary care physicians across the United States and Arizona is far below what it should be. And according to several medical experts, Green Valley has two pressing issues when it comes to addressing patient needs: demographics and location. According to the University of Arizona Center for Rural Health, Arizona is ranked 42nd in the nation when it comes to the number of licensed PCPs per capita. For every 100,000 residents, the state has 80. Even the national number of 94 is woefully inadequate, and it's getting worse, experts say. According to the American Association of Medical Colleges, there will be a shortage of up to 86,000 physicians by the year 2036. In January-February edition of the AARP Bulletin, the AAMC is quoted as saying that the number of people 75 and older will have increased 55% by that point. Dr. Taryn Byram Neal, Chief Medical Officer for the United Community Health Center, said in the past 4 months, at least 5 physicians have left the Sorita Green Valley area or have retired. She has several theories as to why the U.S. is experiencing a shortage in physicians. Some reason would be a decrease in medical students entering primary care residency programs. Limited primary care residency programs, especially in rural areas and across the state. Provider fatigue and burnout post-COVID and the excessive cost that's associated with medical school, Bynum Neal said. Dr. Chad Pryor has been living and working in the Green Valley Sorita area for more than 12 years, the last several with Arizona Community Physicians. Two of his partners, a husband and wife team, recently retired, leaving him to run a practice with a nurse practitioner. He sees about 30 patients a day, works 14 to 15-hour days. He spends weekends following up on medications, going over lab results, making follow-up calls to patients. And we've been recruiting. We've been going places. I've talked to residents. I've talked to nurse practitioners. I've talked to multiple people. And not a lot of the doctors, and a lot of the doctors are moving here. They'd rather work in Tucson because they don't want to drive down here, Pryor said. And when we have a very busy clinic, and that sometimes scares them away because they don't want to be that busy. It is standard for corporations to schedule each patient for 15-minute appointments, and according to the Physician Advocacy Institute, nearly 80% of all doctors now work for corporations or hospitals. But doctors also sometimes have a hard time keeping to 15 minutes, Pryor said. The number one reason, particularly in Green Valley, is the presence of more than one serious ailment, but there are other reasons too. The common thing in primary care, and we all kind of joke about it, is you take care of the hangnail and the dry eyes and the rash and the knee pain and the shoulder pain and the back pain, and then you're about to stand up and walk out. They're like, Doc, I've been having this killing chest pain. And it's like, why didn't you bring that up first? That should be the number one thing we talk about, but everybody always brings up the worst thing last because they want to make sure they get everything taken care of, Pryor said. Doctors are also more overburdened nowadays because of the internet, Pryor said. Patients research their symptoms and test results before every appointment and come in with their own diagnosis and treatment ideas, and they're less trusting of doctors because of the media. It's so difficult because I'm fighting the internet, their friend, their nurse that's retired, the doctor that retired 20 years ago, lives down the street, hasn't practiced anything in the field of medicine since the day they left med school 60 years ago, and yet they're trusting all of them over what we say. It's difficult and it takes up more than 15 minutes because we do have to educate and try to teach them, Pryor said. According to the American Board of Family Medicine, the average doctor cares for 1,700 patients in an 18-month period. However, a 2019 University of California study found that if a physician worked 43 hours a week and saw patients for 8 to 12 minutes each, they could only accommodate 983 patients. Pryor said more doctors are specialized because they can see more patients in a shorter period of time since they only focus on one issue. Bynum Neal also said an increase in the number of doctors pursuing specialty medicine. Many physicians chose to specialize because of their genuine interest in that area of medicine, and also because they've been geared toward developing specialists due to procedural reimbursement rates, Bynum Neal said. There's also the reality that many physicians are burdened with massive amounts of loan debt after completing medical school and residency, and therefore this decision may be, at least in part, financially based. And that, my friends, will take care of the reading of the Green Valley News. Mark DeGroff, dear, thank you so much for listening. Reminding you that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Just left-click on Broadcast, Info and Audio. And then under Programming Links, click on Demand Podcast. And you can listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or any other smart home device. Thank you so much for listening. I wish you a very, very good day. Back in about an hour with the Arizona Daily Star. Till then, have a good morning.